Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 28th. Of December 2021, the last show of the year.
Goodbye, 2021.
Yeah, it was a dog. What? Except for the market.
Well, the market was great. Everything else sucked, didn't it?
Yeah, it was weird.
Well, here's a warm-up, some of the things that are going on, some of the things to look forward to in today's discussion. Of course, last week of the year, light volume, pretty much a good amount of action, rotation, things are happening, but it's primarily, at least the way it looks to me, that it's kind of portfolio adjusting time. That's about it. Airlines are battling the pandemic again. The cruise ships are circling again and being told, like the Exodus, you're not allowed here. Santa tracking call with the president went awry. We'll talk about that. We have a recession warning, an end of the year wrap up, and a couple of year end limericks.
Ooh.
Yes, we got a few in there. Yeah. Oh, that's good stuff. Huh? Market updates. We got new highs, another V recovery from major exchanges. If you look at this V recovery, it is so sharp. And that all happened from the, oh my God, the end of the world to, it's the cold. It's nothing. Kind of people are sick of it, don't you think?
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah.
So, used car market may be heading for trouble. Some discussion about that there's possibly a lot of cars that right now aren't underwater due to the fact that they were bought with such high premiums.
Yeah, you know, I can also attest to the fact that I watched the rail. There's a car unloading dock from Japan. The big Hyundai ships come in and they drop off Toyotas and Hondas in Richmond. And then they go on the trains, the car carriers, and then they go down to either the ports or they get distributed all over the place. And the activity is tripled. Cars are pouring in. I don't see the used car market lasting much longer.
It's pretty amazing how there has been this extraordinary level of excitement over used cars due to the fact that you just can't get the regular ones, right?
That's the main reason, yeah, unless people want used cars because they don't have the same kind of computers or not being tracked. There's nobody does that.
Yeah. What else do we have here? Full week this week. Market is open for biz. Dow Jones Industrial Average, the Qs, not a record, but the SPY or the S&P 500, up 25% for this year. Pretty amazing. The others are up pretty good, but that's pretty amazing. Actually, it's close to a 26 now. Any New Year's resolution? Oh, I want to talk about resolutions for a second. You've been around the block a few times, this whole New Year's thing. You're supposed to make a resolution. You're not going to drink. You're not going to eat, you know, whatever. You're going to exercise more. You're going to say thank you and ma'am and please more often. I don't know, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
I have an issue with this. One of my issues. Just one of the smallest.
One of the many.
One of the smallest.
That and the bare feet at the airport.
So people make resolutions. I have an issue with the idea of resolutions because resolutions seem to me to be like frameworks when we talk about that. And the idea that there's a resolution but not an actual signed commitment of a document. And I think that we should be making commitments if we want to do so rather than resolutions because resolutions are kind of like, well, all right, I thought I wanted to lose weight. It's February. Screw it. I'm done. Versus a commitment. You know, you hold your feet to the fire. There's ramifications if you don't commit to that contract that you make with yourself. You see the difference?
Yeah, I think you're making much of this that isn't necessary because I think these things are just soft. Nobody takes their own resolution seriously.
My point. That's my point.
Yeah, well, it's just something to do. It's just a point of conversation. It's how were your New Year's resolutions, Bill? And, you know, it's just I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to do this and that. It's just, I think it's just dumb. I don't do them.
Do you think there's some advertising involved? I mean, this is the time of year We're entering into a time where traditionally, throwing away any kind of pandemic, that the parking lots at the various health clubs are packed January and February.
Yeah, there is that element, yeah.
Right?
Oh, you think it's to get people to so they can make some money in the old gyms.
It's not only the gyms, maybe other things too.
Yeah, no, that's a good thought.
Yeah, there's something going on.
I was looking for that kind of investment strategy, thinking about these things in those terms, with what happens when COVID just goes away.
Whoa. What? When will that happen? Are you predicting? Are you hypothesizing? Well, I've
been believing it's been going on about April, May of 2022. It looks like, because that's the pattern that the pandemic of 1918, the Spanish flu, followed the same, pretty much the same pattern that we're following. And it just disappeared around March of the third year.
Now, was that pandemic 1917?
Or 1918, 1918, 1917, 1918, 1919.
Because President Trump seems to really want to call it the 1917 Spanish flu. And everybody else that I know talks about the 18 Spanish flu.
I don't know why. He's got some other skewed dates too that he likes to use. And he has got some reason. I don't care.
All right. So we're done with this. Hopefully we're done with this.
But I'm thinking, I hope so. Otherwise, they're trying to milk it. I don't know what they're going to accomplish. I've noticed I was driving around today and there's a bunch of pop-up COVID testing vans, nicely painted COVID testing van. And there's a line a mile long. People just wanting to go get tested for no. I mean, why are they all sick? If they're sick, I don't want to get in that line. This makes sense.
Listen, when the first wave broke out and I went to get tested, I was like, whoa, what am I doing here? This doesn't seem good.
No, it doesn't make sense. You don't want to be.
No, you know. It doesn't make any sense. You know, for that matter, even being in a Walgreens, I'm walking around watching people. I'm like, you know, I got to walk through the cold and flu aisle to get to where I'm going here. Maybe that's not such a good idea.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't stand in one of those testing lines in the middle of this, you know, the town, a mile long with a bunch of sick people. No.
Yeah. So. Dumb. Let's talk about used cars for a second. Used car prices have spiked for months. We know about that because of the new car inventories are very low and because the chip shortage has been crippling the industry. We know all about that for all sorts of different reasons. I told you I bought new engines for my boat, right? Did I tell you that? Are we powering my boat?
Yeah, you said you ordered new engines. I didn't know you got the engines. I thought you had to wait.
I am still waiting. I ordered them last April.
Yeah.
Last April. And I still can't get a straight answer of where I am. It's kind of like the other day I called up, once again, support for a technology-related issue, and I was on hold, and then all of a sudden, it started ringing and ringing and ringing. I had an earpiece in, so I just let it ring for like 5 minutes, and somebody finally picked up. It's like I was calling, grandma's home, and they just walked in. Oh, hello? You know? And then I talked to the guy, and he goes, listen, call me back with the information. I'm like, So then I had to get the information. I had to call him back. And, you know, I went back and forth, waiting and waiting, waiting, ringing and ringing and ringing. I decided to call on another phone. So I took my mobile phone out and I called the same number. And both of them said that I was the first in the queue.
How can that be?
I'm telling you, you are number one in the queue. I'm like, what? How is that? Total crap. So I decided to call sales and say, because they always pick up right away, right? Sales.
Yeah, of course they do. That's their job.
Pick up right away. I'm like, hey, you got to get me to somebody quick. So they got me right away taken care of. So that was pretty crazy. Anyway, the used car industry. So it's not news about this whole thing, but there's a new report that prices have gotten so far away. This is done by KPMG, the big accounting firm, that prices have gotten so far out of whack that negative equity is now a big issue in the used car market. So you buy a car, like I know somebody that recently bought a 2016 with like 100,000 miles. It was a GM truck of some sort, pickup for $17,000, which usually that would cost like seven. So
yeah,
What's going to happen if you've took out a loan on this used car in the past year or so, you might actually owe more money than the car is worth moving forward.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So for those patient people out there, the potential is that there's going to be a lot of great bargains in things like boats and cars and RVs into the future. Keep your eyes open for this.
I think everything except the RVs. The RVs are under pressure, upward pricing pressure from the homeless. And I don't see that situation changing much.
Hold on. The homeless are buying like these $50,000 RVs?
They're buying RVs left and right. I don't know if they're not buying the $50,000 ones, but if you go to Berkeley, like it's street after street is just RVs as far as the eye can see.
That's not homeless then. They have an RV.
Yeah, well.
And where does the...
Technically, they're not homeless if the RV counts as a house. They're addressless.
Do they have running water and toilet service and things of that nature? Electricity?
No. Uh-uh.
Hmm. Stink over there.
Except from their... Well, they have the tanks. You know, you can drain them somewhere. You drive down one of the streets in Berkeley, find a sewer, open the thing up, and out it goes. Sure, they have generators.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Hmm. Let me just point out something from the chat room. Somebody is talking about some logins. Do me a favor. Send me an email so I can understand what's going on. Logins to where? So is it logins to the DH Unplugged website? If that's the case, sometimes some things get stuck in spam. We've had that problem before. But just write me an email to dhemail@dhunplugged.com. And we will get that straightened out for you. All right, flight cancellations. U.S. Airlines canceled more than 900 flights on Saturday, second straight day of massive cancellations as surging COVID-19 infections have sidelined some pilots and other crew members, upending plans for tens of thousands of holiday travelers. A total of 937 Christmas Day flights. By the way, to put this in perspective, this is a lot, but it's not like a majority. It's 8% maybe of the flights.
Yeah, something like that.
So cruise ships are a mess.
But it's a lot if it's the one you got canceled on. You're stuck.
It's everything if mine gets stuck. And it's interesting because airlines and cruise lines got hit earlier in the week after being up nicely last week. You know, this last 10 days have really thrown a real monkey wrench into things, hasn't it?
It's pretty interesting as professional sports. I mean, there's not a football game or a basketball game that hasn't been impacted by somebody testing positive, but not really having the disease. And then, everything's been impacted.
Right. And there's more CES. You haven't been going to that for years, have you?
I probably haven't gone to it for 6 years, 7 years, maybe.
I think you and I have talked about the idea of meeting there one day. But we've never.
Yeah, it's kind of the same. You know, I've always felt CES was a show you only had to go to occasionally because it's always the same. It's pretty much the same stuff, or as upgrades. And I don't know. I've kind of lost interest in it. I'm not writing about that stuff anymore. So
it's funny because I have a good friend and a guy who has a podcast, and he's been on my podcast many times, Frank Curzio. He goes every year and does his whole analysis and what's hot and what's going on. He gets some dynamite investing ideas from that.
In fact, there's so many good reports that come out of CES. I think people are better off not going and just listening to those reports, just as you said.
Right. Or following them on Instagram.
Because some people go, they're fanatics. They actually go. I mean, my technique for going to CES was always because I had to write up about stuff and I didn't want to write the same old that everybody else writes about. So I would just go into the small booths and the little Chinese operations and all these little dinky companies that have, you know, sometimes interesting things that nobody's covering because they're all covering Sony, you know, they're covering, you know, Mitsubishi, Microsoft, somebody, and Panasonic. They're all crowded in there. And these guys, like your friend there, they still don't cover those little guys generally.
Interesting. Well, what's happening this year is that, well, what the news that is starting to stream in is that some of the major players are pulling out. Microsoft is now not going physically, whatever that means. They'll be there.
That means they're not going to have a booth.
But they'll have a booth, but they'll have like TVs up or something? No, not even that?
I don't think so.
Mm. Microsoft joins other firms like GM, Alphabet, and other ones that are just saying, ah,
Alphabet,
you know,
rarely went to that. I mean, it's only recently that Google ever went to anything. So that's no big deal.
Yeah.
And they got nothing to show.
Right. Everything they have to show is already there on the internet.
Yeah. It's a search engine. Hey, look at this.
Not need to search engine. Right.
Although exactly. They sometimes will put a display out on the, in the outside of the show in the, one of the parking lots of the driverless car, and you can get in and drive around. Hmm.
Turkey, lots going on there. We've talked about this before. The lira fell below $11 against the dollar on Monday, trimming its more than 50% gains from last week. There was a huge turnaround after it dropped. I don't know. It dropped like 17. And there was this intervention that said that they were going to Erdogan, whatever his guy's name, Erdogan unveiled late on the day of that day a scheme under which the Treasury of Turkey and Central Bank would reimburse losses on converted lira deposits against foreign currencies. So that went like what? So they basically backed their currency implicitly and said that if you have any losses, we'll pay you back. So things went bonkers. That, remember we talked about possibly putting TUR, Turkey, on the game as a stock pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd been good. It was up like 25% last week.
Why didn't we do it?
I don't know.
I think it was your idea and you didn't follow through.
Yeah. So Turks didn't sell any dollars on Monday and Tuesday last week, and they suggest they had piled little into anything, and it was all the state interventions which cost the central bank of Turkey $8 billion. $8 billion.
Yike.
So I guess it was a good thing because they stabilized the currency. But the fact that he's pushing more money in to underwrite and stabilize the currency at the same time dropping rates because he's trying to cut off inflation, it's not something you really want to get too close to.
It's a mess.
It's a currency moving up 50% in a week or down 50% in 6 months.
Sounds like Bitcoin.
It makes Bitcoin look safe. You know?
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. So every year, this is just a for your interest story, and there's something offbeat. It's not really financial, but it is related to our overriding government and who's running things. There was every year they do the Santa tracking call where the president comes on TV and he takes some calls and he says, Santa left the North Pole 2 hours ago. He's heading over North Dakota and heading down to your neck of the woods to put that wonderful whatever in your chimney, down your chimney, right? So President Biden and his wife Jill Biden were taking calls into into the North American Aerospace Defense Command Santa tracker. Right? So taking these calls, that's where they are, right? Which follows the progress of Santa and the reindeer-guided sleigh for millions of children. I don't know how many millions of children are watching the president do this, but let's just go with this, okay? Now, at the end of one of these calls came in, a parent who gave his name as Jared said, "Merry Christmas and let's go, Brandon." And President Biden replied, "Let's go, Brandon, I agree." Now, I found that very troubling. Is it A, that he just went so quickly that he didn't know what to do? Two, he doesn't know what "Let's Go Brandon" supposedly means?
He's been called out.
Or he hates himself.
He's been called out on a press conference about the "Let's Go Brandon" thing, and he's aware of it. And he knows what it means. So I have no idea. This is somewhat baffling, his reaction. Everyone's seen this clip. He's just like, he's out of touch. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, let's go, Brandon. Great. Yeah, let's go, Brandon. He's a buffoon at this point.
Unbelievable. So getting back to one of our favorite topics that we talked about last year was the amazing going out of business and then reviving of Hertz.
Yeah, great opportunity there.
So if you were inclined
to somehow knew what they were up to.
Yeah. If you were inclined to buy a bankrupt company and put your, it was like an eight bagger.
But yeah, and it was in a short period of time.
Very short period of time. Who would have thought that they're going to do this deal and go, you know, through the bankruptcy proceedings and somehow magically buy out all the common stock for a price eight times the value of what it was? I mean, I don't even know. Obviously, what they were doing was paying off management, right? It's not like they were gratuitously.
Now that you mention it.
Yep. Yeah, they weren't gratuitously paying off retail holders or institutions. So here's the scam that went on. So Hertz had some complaints by more than about 180 customers, and they're suing the car rental company in bankruptcy court, by the way, seeking damages of just under $529 million. And most of those customers were stopped by police and sometimes arrested for driving Hertz cars that had been legally rented. So what happens is,
I didn't even know this took place.
So what they're doing is Hertz, when maybe the contract is extended, and maybe it wasn't entered properly, or maybe the car was returned to a Hertz that was not the place it was supposed to be returned to and not entered correctly, or for some other reason it was late. A regular practice supposedly was Hertz, I can't even believe this, that Hertz reported the car stolen and then had the police go look for the car and retrieve it instead of looking for it themselves, utilizing the police force as their repo operation for bringing cars back into their lot.
Yeah, I found that peculiar.
I don't know. It's a big lawsuit. It seems like a lot of people. It's not just one. And some people went to jail. Some people, you know, wrongly accused. Amazing, right?
Wow.
Yeah, you're driving a
stolen car. You get picked up and get thrown in the slammer.
Some of it doesn't make sense. I mean, usually when you have a rental car, I don't know about you, you have some kind of rental car receipt.
Yeah, and there's also the paperwork in the glove box.
Always the paperwork in the glove box. So there must be something, or there could have been just a call made, very simply. I mean, why would people that
It doesn't make sense that anyone got arrested.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Because if I got pulled over from my rental car from a bankrupt Hertz and they'd reported it stolen because they're a-holes, and I get pulled over and the cops, you know, is he just going to grab me and cuff me and take me without talking to me?
Very weird. Very weird. But there are 180 of them. So there's something that's tying this all together, besides an attorney, obviously. Attorney with a desire. I mean, he had to find the people and come up with this whole thing, the idea of all this. Well, we had some big market cap growth throughout the year in 2021. Some of the biggest winners were the biggest companies, in fact. And matter of fact, they're getting bigger and bigger. Apple is getting really close to $3 trillion of market cap. I'm going to take a look at the price of Apple here. I think 183 was the price. It's $179.29. It needs to get about to 183. I think intraday it was up there for a bit. It was 181.5. So it's just a couple of bucks away from a total market cap of $3 trillion. But look at this chart, again, available on DH Unplugged for episode 587 on the show notes at dhunplugged.com. But look at the growth from the end of 2020 to where we are just a couple days ago, December 23rd.
How much of this is buybacks?
A lot of it is, well, a lot of it is because of the fact that you have buybacks. It helps out. It helps to keep the stock up, and it also managed to artificially raise your earnings per share, which is something that investors love. They just love it because you have a natural party that's going to support the stock. They're buying on dips. And a lot of this, with a lot of money, you know, you have $5 or $10 or $20 billion worth of buybacks, $50 billion worth of buybacks. That's a lot of underlying support, right?
Yeah, or lack thereof if the market turns around and these things go south.
That is true, but there's so much more capital. And again, this is all predicated on cheap money. If you have a company, John, and I tell you you can get, you can get 3% on a long bond, 2.5% on a long bond, you know, and you're like, well, what do I do with that? Well, you take that and you do a buyback, you pay dividends, you pay it all back, and it all comes back into the company. And you take that and you leverage the crap out of it by buying your own stock, because by buying your own stock is not just simply buying your own stock back, it's elevating your profits. It's a great scam. It's great. It's one of the
it's a gem.
It's one of the greatest scams ever perpetrated on the world.
Well, like you said, the investors seem to like it. They know it. Nobody is naive about the fact that this is going on.
No, it's more like yeah. Why do you think that one, when you see that an activist gets involved in a company, the stocks usually go up, because one of the things they do is they rip out the expenses and they try to figure out ways to make it more profitable. And one of those ways is to actually start massive buybacks. Why do you think Warren Buffett is such a massive holder of Apple? You know, this guy understands the nuances of these kinds of things. So it's all about the financial trickery, engineering, whatever you want to call it, that is definitely helping a lot of this. And it's not going to stop until we have much higher rates where it doesn't make sense to do so. That's why companies like these are the ones that are targeted by investors when rates are so low, because they have the greatest opportunity to goose their profitability. And companies that are cash cows like an Apple and Microsoft, look at what's on this list. Apple, Microsoft, Alphabet or Google, Amazon, Tesla, Facebook. Interesting, Facebook is still under $1 trillion worth of valuation.
Right? Yeah, well, that won't. I don't know why that is.
It's kind of interesting, I thought. But Apple's far the highest. Went from $2.2 trillion in 2020 to 2.9 trillion. $1 trillion.
Yeah. What do they sell?
Apple?
What do they sell? What do they make their money from?
Phones?
One phone.
Well,
a phone.
They also have services that are big. The App Store is pretty big. They have earphones and headphones.
Geez, there's a moneymaker.
Microsoft is still one of the best. Let's be honest.
Well, Microsoft's got a broad base of things they do.
Yeah. Great company. Coins, curated by Dave Ackerman. The market for stable coins grew from $29 billion at the beginning of this year to $140 billion this year, which is driven mostly by DeFi and derivatives, which, you know, derivatives of coins, et cetera, and derivatives of, I mean, the DeFi, decentralized finance. The big altcoin winner this year includes DeFi platform Lido, whose market cap increased from 12.3 million to 6 billion. ETH, quote unquote, killer, Ethereum killer Solana, with the coin price increase nearly 10,000% on this year. So that's kind of interesting. Shiba Inu with a 42 million% gain since it was created in August 2020. 42 million%.
Yeah, that's not bad. It's a good move. I don't even know where anybody could find out about it to begin with.
Yeah, good day's work. 2021 also saw an influx of many high-profile personalities. This I find troubling. Into the crypto scene, including Snoop Dogg and Nayib Bukele, Elon Musk, Naomi Osaka, Lionel Messi, Mark Zuckerberg, Kim Kardashian, you know the thing, Paris Hilton. That's kind of troubling, don't you think?
It's a bad sign.
Yep. Other coinage, I still think there could be some regulation in 2020. And the big question is, we saw some today. We saw that Elizabeth Warren was out again, ripping on the coins. Coins dropped pretty hard today.
That means they'll probably do pretty well over time.
Yeah. And then...
she talks a big game.
That's all she does. She wears a blue suit. Right? Like, well, who is it? Talks a big game, carries a big stick or whatever, you know? She talks a big game and wears a blue suit.
That's about it.
And the big question I think is going to be this year, what's going to be with the meta coins like Sand and Mana for DeFi, Decentraland, and for Sandbox, for Facebook or Meta's world, their little world they got going on there. And a few others that are out there. It's going to be kind of interesting to see. And Roblox, of course, interesting to see. So we'll see what happens there. Tesla, Chinese citizens are lashing out. They're lashing out online against billionaire Tesla founder Elon Musk's and all of his space ambitions. Because on Monday, after China was all upset, they complained that this is something we've talked about, that its space station, China's space station, was forced to take evasive action to avoid collision with satellites launched by Musk's Starlink program.
Starlink. The thing about this story, and I've listened to some space news, is that I didn't know that the Chinese space station was in such a low Earth orbit, because those Starlink things are not way up there. They're the lowest possible orbit that you can get into, so you can get some low latency connections. Otherwise, a normal satellite communications, a communication satellite is high enough that if you try to do an internet connection to it, you'd have so much latency problems, you wouldn't like it.
So I guess the space station
must be low.
Yeah, and they had to move. So the satellites from Starlink Internet Services, a division of SpaceX Aerospace Company, had two close encounters with the Chinese space station on July 1st and October 21st, according to the document submitted by China earlier this month to the UN's space agency. Maybe they're just looking for some takeout. I don't know.
It should be. They should mention that the International Space Station was almost hit by two Chinese pieces of crap that's floating around.
There's too much stuff up there.
Yeah, they gotta start cleaning it up.
Yeah. More on the EV world. Tesla plans 13. Actually, this is not actually right, and I'm going to tell you that was the news headline. The news headline was Tesla plans 13 battery gigafactories in the U.S. by 2025. In addition to electric vehicle battery plants that are already in operation in the United States, 13 additional plants have been announced and expected to be operational within the next 5 years. So of the 13 plants that are planned, 8 are joint ventures between automakers and battery manufacturers, and many of these new plants will be located in the Southeast or Midwest. The headline was wrong, later corrected that it's 13. I think Tesla has one additional, and they're doing other ones around the world. But that's kind of interesting. Led me to the question, John. Led me to the question. All these batteries, right? They have a very long life in terms of, we'll call it a half-life. Will we call it a half-life? I don't know. We'll call it, they have a lifetime where it takes a long time for the chemicals to dissipate to a point that they're non-existent. In other words, incineration or getting rid of these batteries over time is a problem, isn't it?
Well, not as much of a problem as the mercury batteries, but yeah, there is a problem of some sort. I'm not sure. I have to look into it, to be honest about it.
I'd like to know because I'd like to understand, as we get more and more EVs on the road and more people buying this that are environmentally conscious, what happens to those cars and those batteries that are, let's say, 10 years old that have reached their life expectancy? And what do we do, and where are the battery graveyards, and what is that impact on the environment?
Needs to be answered.
Somebody could write me about that. I'd appreciate that. I'm not saying that it's a problem, because I don't know. I'm saying I don't know if it's a problem.
But it has to be a problem. It's something. I guarantee it's a problem.
Seems a little like a problem to me. Let's see. More crypto. This could be something. This is.
Yeah, this, I saw this story and I was going, what?
What are you talking about? Good.
Radio Shack has decided to reappear as a crypto company. That's about as, won't they just become a bakery? I mean, this makes no sense whatsoever.
It's unbelievable, right?
Yeah, that was just a head shaker.
So the Radio Shack website now advertises the company as bringing cryptocurrency to the mainstream by creating a new protocol allowing everyone to more easily use decentralized finance. What it really looks like is they're going to launch their own token and start focusing on swaps, which is basically a service to exchange cryptocurrency and tokens. On the Radio Shack website, it says this is low-hanging fruit because of the incredible levels of profit. Now, again, another company that just won't die. I mean, I thought they went bankrupt and all the stores closed. That's what I thought.
Well, no, they that's what they did. They went bankrupt and all the stores closed.
All right, I'm looking at the website.
Still somewhat annoying.
That's what it says on the website, by the way.
Oh.
Bringing cryptocurrency to the main street. To the mainstream. Our first protocol. What is Radio Shack DeFi? DeFi.
As a company, this is not the first iteration. You know, they started off as a leather company. Tandy. They made leather goods.
Oh, Tandy. I remember that, Tandy.
Yeah. And then they slowly evolved into Radio Shacks, these stores. And they were a computer company for a while. And they were very dominating during that period. And they gave up on that for some reason. It still baffles me. And then they went broke. Then they reemerged as this. But this is the kind of thing Nokia has done over the years. In Finland, they started off as some, I think, inner tubes or some damn thing. And then they went to monitors, became a big monitor company. And then that crapped out and they became a phone maker. And I don't know what they are now.
Somebody had have just bought this name and decided to do this. This is so weird. It's so weird. They have all these partners. Meet our partners and collaborators. Oh, this is great. The Franklin Mint, Linens and Things, Dress Barn. Seriously. Pier 1. Isn't Pier 1? Wait, are all these places bankrupt?
Well, I think Pier 1 went bankrupt. I don't know about Dress Barn. Probably.
The team, there's a couple of guys. Alex Zmer is an investor and former NASA scientist. He's a doctorate in a complex design. He bought and sells Zeus. I'm telling you, these guys bought this, is what I'm thinking. Then the other guy is, what's the other guy's name? Ty Lopez acquires and operates large brands like Radio Shack. That's what's going on. Because they talk about here too, they said they're partnering with Atlas, the USV protocol. And then above here, it says the best part, what is Radio Shack DeFi? Radio Shack is a 100-year-old brand embedded into the global consciousness. And we're going to lead the way for blockchain tech to reach mainstream adoption by other large brands. In other words, they're 4 years too late again.
Yeah.
this is fascinating. They must have just bought this name. That's it.
Well, they're doing something.
Yeah. All rights reserved.
Keeping busy.
Yeah. All right, moving along here. Recession warning. Recession warning by former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers. That's the other voice. But he talks a little strange because he has like this lip thing, this tongue thing going. He always looks like he has a mouthful of spit. And am I wrong? Am I wrong?
It's pretty gross.
And he talks like that, and he's got this thing, and he has this, and then he whines on certain words that he talks about. He warned that the U.S. economy could slide into a recession as the Federal Reserve takes what he described as long-delayed action to cool the hottest inflation in nearly four decades. He said, If I thought we can substantially run the economy in a red-hot way...
I think if you had a mouthful of water, it would probably come...
Yeah, let's go. I got it. I thought if we can sustainably run the economy in a red-hot way... I can't do it. Then we would be
pretty close.
Well, wonderful. But the consequence, and this is the excruciating lesson we learned in the 70s, of an overheating economy is not merely elevated inflation, but constantly rising inflation. This is why my fear is that we are already reaching a point where it would be challenging to reduce inflation without a rise to recession. What are we thinking? Is this kind of, I don't know, he just seems like a negative dude. Then we have on top of that, right on the heels of this, the report on holiday sales, which were up 10.7% compared to the pre-pandemic 2019 levels. The fastest increase in 17 years. Clothing and jewelry sales rose more than 30%, and online sales were up 61% from 2019. So things are going well for the sales. I mean, some of that may have been pulled forward with people freaking out that they weren't going to get. Remember, it was like, you're not going to get your, Tickle Me Elmo if you don't buy it in October.
Yeah, they did push the October buy.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe that kind of on top of other things. But it does seem to me that maybe we had a pull forward. And don't forget, there's technical recessions where, you know, you come off of very hot numbers. That doesn't necessarily mean it's like a hardship recession. You follow what I mean?
Yeah, it's just a numbers recession. Just a it's a bookkeeping error.
Right, exactly. You know, you go up by 9% like we did because we came out of something as deep as we were in, and all of a sudden the numbers you start comparing to it normalize and it's lower. You go back to normal growth. And if you have a couple quarters of that, it looks like you are in a recession. There's some fake burger news again. Once again, this is cycling around. Something you talk about with Adam Curry, who gets my text messages and twists them to mean something different than they did. And I called him out on it last week about my discussion about boots on the ground test sites and testing items that I happened to notice out there. Made it sound like I was freaking out about getting these things. There goes Horowitz again.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, you don't back me up, by the way, on that.
Well, yeah, I do.
Yeah, not really. You get it back.
Okay, I'll from now on, I am going to back you up.
Back me up if it's right to back me up. Or,
well, I didn't know anything about this testing. I thought you were looking for tests so you can go on a cruise or something.
No. Yeah, I hear you. I understand. Burgers made from bugs. That's something you talk about on the No Agenda show quite often,
incessantly,
right?
Yeah.
The fake meat industry.
I love bugs.
Yeah. And you have some nice snippets on that. The food industry is, fake meat industry is starting to explore fruit fly patties and mealworm nuggets.
Oh, my God. Why don't we just shoot ourselves? Maggots. Let's have a maggot burger. Ooh, yeah.
Mealworm nuggets. There's a cycle for this, and I don't understand why, if they're so excited about their pea protein, do they have to go through this process?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know, if the pea protein's so good.
I've eaten bugs.
People are having, you remember this? Remember the time they had this Olestra? You remember Olestra? Oh,
what was that? There was an oil?
It was an oil used for doing French fry, for potato chips.
Right. But it gave everybody horrible gas.
Yeah, horrible gas and diarrhea.
Yeah.
And I had a couple of these chips, and I don't know how you could get to the diarrhea or the gas, because you ate one chip at like room temperature potato chip, and it was just the goo, this Olestra stuff stuck to the roof of your mouth. Ugh. And there was just like, it's like a Crayola had been scribbled on the top of your mouth, and you could use your tongue and you couldn't get it off.
Oh, you sound like Larry Summers now.
Well, that's what he's probably still trying to get the Olestra out of his mouth. So I don't see how people could eat more than one chip before they say, yuck.
I've tried those chips too myself, and I found it terrible. Just absolutely just awful. But, yeah.
Who thought they were good? That's the question. How did they get green-lighted?
Yeah, I don't know. It's terrible. This this world is so upside down. This is like this next headline that I saw, and I was like, what are they? Why are they allowing this? You know, this whole thing, this fascination that, women can be just like men. Okay, I have no problem. Equal, everybody's equal, and if you could do whatever you do and you do it well, and it doesn't matter what color, what gender, I don't care. I don't care. But you know, you get this headline in Bloomberg. Meet the women behind some of Wall Street's hottest new hedge funds. Now, you put women and hottest in the same thing, you know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be the same thing with men. It says the hot new trend for hedge funds is finally female founders. That's their underneath that. And the story goes on and says, 9 recently opened or soon to be launched funds demonstrate that a change is coming slowly to the world of money management. So this idea that we have hedge funds owned by women, I don't know, I knew about that for years, but maybe it's something they just didn't want to do. It's not like they were locked out, because anybody can create a hedge fund. That doesn't preclude anybody from doing it.
Anyone can.
But the idea that meet the women behind, say, Wall Street's hottest new hedge funds. I think that's a little bit sexist in there, don't you think?
Well, now that you mention it, I didn't think about it before, but now, yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it wouldn't be the men.
You could have said trending. Best.
Right.
Best would be if they're, you know, they're good. Well, they're the best new hedge funds.
Yeah, there's new hedge funds. Why they're the hottest. They're not the hottest. They're just new hedge funds. If they're new, we don't know how hot they are. They're new. So how do we know how good they are?
You just start them. You don't know that they're not hot.
Yeah. Crazy. Sad day. Speaking of this situation and hedge fund manager, the female that you do well, what do you want to do? Maybe you're going to buy yourself that bag, that pocketbook, that purse. Well, there was a big robbery in West Palm. It sees 13, you need to follow all the numbers here, 13 one-of-a-kind Hermes handbags valued at a total of more than $1 million were stolen from Only Authentics Boutique in Palm Beach during a smash-and-grab incident earlier this month. 8 Birkins and 5 Kellys were stolen. If anybody knows what that means, that's great. With the most expensive being a 40. First of all, did you know that you measure or have an identification of a purse in centimeters?
No.
There's a 40-centimeter green crocodile skin Kelly, which was listed at $89,000. And a 32-centimeter Vert Bosphore Birkin listed at $110,000. The average per bag that I calculated was like $75,000.
I think this was maybe just an insurance scam.
I thought the same thing. You know, if it's a jewelry store, they put their jewelry away at night. And this is just as valuable, it seems. And what is so good about a 40 centimeter? And a 32 centimeter. Maybe showing how small it is? I don't know.
Maybe it's code for something. I don't know why they put this sort of information in there.
Yep. Close to the Pin is running this week. Next week we will the end of this week will be the winner will be disclosed on the website. And we will actually come back after a couple of best ofs to reveal that winner. Now we got a couple of limericks.
Oh, they're not by you.
One of them maybe.
Well, maybe the second one is.
Yep. Let me, I'm going to be hung if I don't do these right. So the first one's from, which was sparked this, was from a gentleman named Gabriel Shaw. And Gabriel listened to one of our shows recently, and you were talking about how, you know, we don't have limericks anymore, and you were saying something about it. So let me give you a whirl with his. Gabriel Shaw. Fed limericks were dwindling fast. John thought their best times had passed. When out of the blue came a limerick or two, giving hope that the good times would last.
Huh. That's pretty well structured. I'd give him an A.
Yeah, nice. Right off the bat. Then we have the mystery limericker.
Yeah, you.
Composing a limerick, I got stuck. The Fed was giving away more bucks. With rates so low and client accounts all aglow, forgive me for not giving a...
Okay, well, that was cute. Stuck in bucks. Not so happy there. I'll give you a B for that one.
A B. All right. Well,
I like the beep at the end. It's cute. Yeah. And it's more in line with the classic limericks, which are dirty.
Yes. That was the whole point. I was trying to get the stuck thing going on there. I was working on it. I didn't have that much time today to do it, so I tried. Let's go here. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in this segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures. Yeah, you run with this.
Okay. Well, first of all, we have only one of the old tried and true Spider Gold Trust finally got. Oh, no, it's not. I thought I got kicked off. No, it's the only red on the board, except for the recent picks,
yeah,
which haven't gotten, you know, their footing yet. Although I think one of them is a dog.
Oh.
Twitter, as I had as a buyout candidate, is up, it's down a point, but you've got this, you did this thing with these various, anything that you've done so far with the wearables or the meta universe has been a disaster.
That's not true. Matterport, I'm looking at the numbers. You don't see these. These are on mine. Matterport was up 41%. Roblox
except
up-
for that one.
Okay. Unity Software, down. Let's see another one. Let me find another one. Upstart. Upstart, that was a short. All right. Yeah, okay. All right.
It just you get hung up on these things, and this is one of your little things. This metaverse.
It's all about timing. It's all about the Tuesday. If I would have bought it maybe on a Thursday, who knows?
Yeah, you can make it. Yeah, it's lame. I'm sorry. This metaverse thing is just beyond my
comprehension. I made a bunch of money for clients with it, but yeah, okay. I got
I'm sure it's doable.
Yep.
Insight Corporation is another pick. It's my pick from the Baker Brothers. Dead money at the moment. It should take.
But it's the Baker Brothers. You know what? These guys can plow it hard.
Yeah, and they moved the market.
Yep. I have no picks for this week because I'm not going to start the year. I have one question for you. Are we going to, we're going to leave everything on, right? Because
Shrunk. We are, but we're going to do the same culling we did before. We started doing that. Remember, 1 year we reset, and It just took forever to get back on track.
Yeah,
and it gave us nothing to talk about. And so then the next year, or a couple of years later, we decided to do culling, so you could take individual pieces off. Like if you have two or three on here, that we don't have too many examples except the Spider Gold Trust, that looks like it's just, you know, it just seems like it's just languishing. Everything else is green.
I don't see much that I would take off of this.
I would probably take off Hudson Executive Investment Corp, which is,
hasn't gone anywhere.
It's dead money.
And It's also very thin. HCII off. Anything else?
No, theoretically, I don't
you could
think
bank so. Stuff. You could bank profits on NVIDIA, 44%. Medtronic, we could take off. It's been on since March of 2020.
No, I'm leaving that on forever.
Okay. It seems like it's going to stay on forever.
I'm going to see if I can go the whole year.
Yeah, I hear you.
So we got to 318, 2021 to see what happens.
That would be 2 years.
Oh, you're right. It's 20. Oh,
that's what
my
I'm saying.
God,
that's
it's
what
20, I'm saying. 22 yes. years without it whipsawing.
Long-term capital gains already on this. And the same thing with FVC Bank Corp is over a year.
Yeah.
Spider Gold Trust is over a year. Honeywell is over a year. UPS is over a year.
Yeah. And they're all up.
Yeah. Do you have anything for this week?
I'm going to reintroduce Asana.
Oh, really? Yeah. The CEO has been buying a lot.
He bought $1 billion worth.
Yeah.
Well, no, 100 million. Sorry. He's 38 million, 38 million, 20 million. 32 million. He's been buying it like he's gone nuts. He may have bought $1 billion worth total. Maybe. But he's just buying. So he must know something.
There's insiders.
And that's all I got.
Insiders. Okay. All right. Well, on that note, we are closing in on our hour here and wishing everyone a wonderful and a happy new year. Your family, of course, for a happy new year. I know you had a wonderful Christmas. And I'll see you around the corner.
Yes, we're doing a best of.
Yep, best of coming up next week.
Next Tuesday. Yep. And we'll all be back middle of the month. Okay.
Yep. Great. Talk see you soon. Then. All right, bye.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Moats & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.